That's what acting is, kids. You think it's all fun and games, but sometimes it's laying on a floor.
And then you're there for 12 hours just laying on a disgusting floor for a 12-hour day or something crazy.
Hey, I hope the crafty was good.
Horror Movie Survival Guide is a weekly podcast where I, Gorehound Julia Marchesi, delves into my horror movie notebook to corrupt another one of my longtime chums, Terry Gamble, who is hiding in the creepy horror closet.
My mission is to learn the gospel of horror movie survival and to incorporate Julia's wealth of wisdom to become a final girl disciple.
Join us as we take a deep dive into everything from OG horror
to newly released films,
but preferably classics on VHS.
We'll talk about obscure details that no one else notices.
Spin off into alternate casting universes, crush on some dodgy, foxy fellows,
and creepy uncles, and arm ourselves with the knowledge necessary to become the final girl.
Hello, everybody.
Welcome to Horror Movie Survival Guide. We're just getting it together. Hey.
I'm Julia.
I'm Terry.
This week, we're talking about 2004's Saw. The title of this episode is You Perverted Little Psychopath. And the tagline for this movie is Live or Die, Make Your Choice. I'm okay with it. It's on board. I mean, you're like, okay, this is going to be.
That's the story.
The story.
It's all choices.
Yeah, so tagline encapsulates a movie. There you go. This was written by Lee Whannell, who also stars, and then also written and directed by Mr. James Wan.
Yes.
Yes.
Conjuring Universe man. Yes, and so much more.
But this is pre. This is pre.
I know. This
Universe.
Is like what kind of started it all, right? Like 2004. Yeah. Like I feel like this was like a juggernaut.
This is
my first time watching it though, because I know they're gonna cut off feet. Yeah. I don't necessarily want to watch people cut off feet, but. For you people out there, we are doing the hits for this October, and I watch people do it. You're welcome.
Yeah. I mean, what's this Halloween month better than people taking their own feet off? So I saw this movie in the theater in 2004, and pretty much specifically because Cary Elwes was in it, and I was like, fuck yeah, Cary Elwes. And then I didn't recognize him for like the first like 20 minutes. And I was like, oh, okay.
Because he's a grown up man now.
No, because they make him look so fucked up. It's not that. Like, it's like, I know what he looks like, but like, he just looks so, like, the lighting was weird and it just made him look super different. And then I was like, oh my God.
The color of his skin. Mm-hmm. And it's also just that very early O's lighting of like everything's kind of washed out in a weird way. That's like, yeah, I was like, oh, this is like when you're in an era and you don't know you're in an era sometimes. I know consciously and subconsciously, but it's like not always aware of like what's tracking. And like looking back and watching this, I was like, oh, yeah, it's like the clothes, the everything about it, the style. I was like, oh, my God, the early O's.
When you're in the 90s, it doesn't seem like anything. And now you're like, oh, my God, the 90s. Crazy. So let's start out with Total Darkness, which I thought was quite bold. Right. Like we're in darkness for a good minute or so in the first beginning of the movie where like you don't know what's happening. You do get this very, very opening flash of somebody in a bathtub, something going down a drain. And then we have Into Darkness. Right. And then it's just this. And I was like, that's very bold to open your movie.
I love that. It's very disorienting and it puts you on track with your protagonist and, you know, and antagonist right away. You're like, uh-oh. They are in the dark as well. We don't know what's going on. Where the hell are they? How are they here? And then now it's like us all trying to figure it out with them. And I love that. We're on board.
Yeah. So we find out when they find the light switch that they are chained up by 1 foot in a terrible, terrible room. Like the room you really don't want to wake up in.
It's like a roadside rest stop, like bathroom that's been abandoned. Like you think about like the place you never want to have to go to the bathroom on when you're driving. This is that place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like the bathroom from Trainspotting if they hadn't touched it in like 20 years, like that kind of nastiness.
Yeah.
Not to mention, there's a dead man in the middle of the room with his brains all blown out. He has a gun in one hand. He's got a tape recorder in the other hand. And you're like, well, this is pretty much one of the worst ways you could ever wake up. Good morning.
Because you know the last person didn't make it out and you see the evidence right in front of you. So the thought in brain is like, yes, we'll go into survival mode, but also like, oh, no, the evidence is not for my survival today.
And I did read, by the way, that the actor who is laying dead on the floor here, that's really him through the whole movie. Like he's really just laying there. It's not a dummy. So shout out. Pretty impressive.
He was there God.
Yeah. Can you imagine that you're an actor and you're like 90% of my part is just I'm laying on the floor and I have to move. I can't move at all. It's I love it. That's what acting is, kids. You think it's all fun and games, but sometimes it's laying on a floor.
And then you're there for 12 hours just laying on a disgusting floor for a 12-hour day or something crazy.
Hey, I hope the crafty was good. So we meet Lawrence, who is our Carrie Elwes, who is a surgeon, and Adam, who is Lee Whannell, who we don't really know what he is yet. So Lawrence seems pretty much calm about the dead man, and he's a surgeon. He sees dead
people. He's used to seeing death. Yeah, he's real like clinical about it, and he gets in that doctor like brain like he's in the ER. You know what I mean? Though? Like, he's like, okay, well, I'm assessing the situation, looking at all my clues around me, am I dead or alive, checking his own like kind of vitals, and like, okay, where am I? What am I doing? And Adam is way more like disoriented and confused. Like he's like, how are you calm, dude? And he's like, well, we have to get out of here.
Yeah,
look at the situation. Let's figure it out.
If he would have killed, he would have killed us if he was going to kill us. Like, that's clearly not the plan. The plan is something else. Like, we would already be dead. That he wouldn't take the trouble to knock us out and get us here. Mm-hmm. It's just, what do they want is the question. So they both find cassette tapes in their pockets.
Yep, and also Dr. Lawrence notices there's a brand new clock up on the wall, and he's like, everything else in here looks like shit, and something is brand new sticks out. That's a clue. We're on a time crunch. We're about to find out probably about this time crunch. And yes, we do. They find the tape, and then they have to try to get that little cassette tape recorder to try to play it. And that's a whole nother fun game of them trying to use everything they've got. It's like, this is literally an escape room. Like, when that's why they were like, oh, do you want to go in an escape room? I'm like, no, I don't need to be in Saw. Like, I'm good. My ancestors escaped, so I don't have to.
Lawrence also finds a bullet and a key. So they get real excited about the key, but of course the key does not fit the locks to their ankle chains. So they eventually do get the cassette player, and we have the crazy voice that's like, hey, you might be in the room you're gonna die in. Hi, everybody. Like, oh, hi.
Good morning. Good morning. You're about to die now. Da 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 da. Good morning. All right. So, and now you will be the cause of death, basically, is what Lawrence's tape says. So they each kind of get like cryptic messages on the tape. Like, he's like, well, you work in a hospital, Dr. Lawrence. And they're like, oh, this guy knows who we are, because he's got his name on the envelope. They know exactly, this killer, whoever this guy is, knows exactly who they are and has information specifically for them.
And so the ploy is that Lawrence has to kill Adam by 6 p.m. Otherwise, he's going to kill his daughter and wife and leave him there forever. P.S. Follow your heart. And I was like, not what I expect from Jigsaw. But, you know, okay. Could it be a clue? Of course it is.
Of course it's a clue, but also, like, I was like, is, like, what's up with Dr. Lawrence, though? Because he seemed a little ambivalent about that. And you're like, is he following his heart? Like, is his heart his family, or is it something else? And I think this is a test of that. I think getting clues of that very early on as well.
Well, it's interesting because it brings his dilemma beyond self-preservation, right? Adam only is trying to save himself. Lawrence is like, I have to save myself and my family at the same time. So he has way more incentive to do what he's doing.
Yeah, it's way more at stake.
Adam puts his. They find the heart on the toilet. So we have, speaking of train spotting, a great Adam reaching his hand in somewhere you do not want to reach your hand in at all.
That's the filthiest looking toilet I ever did see, and to think that he had to put his hand down in there.
And then he pulls it out, even if it's props, still.
Right? I would still probably puke, even if it's like legitimately a prop. Like, it's disgusting.
It's the fact that he puts his hand in and then he can't clean it off. That's the problem for me, right? Like, he can't, there's nowhere to, like, there's no water. He has nothing to, like, so he has to go around the rest of the day with that. So nothing in there, but when they take the back off the toilet, it's in there. And he's like, oh, I really wish I would have checked there first. Like, yeah, man, you just did that for nothing. Yeah. So as soon as we found two saws
that are in there. So they're like, well, one each. Of course, they each try to cut through their chains right away. And it's like, no, this saw is dull as fuck. And this saw was not made to cut these chains. These chains are like super high grade. You need like some special like chain cutters, like bolt cutters to get these shits off. So it's not going to happen with the saw.
And Adam breaks his.
Yeah.
Trying.
I'm like, oh no, guys, you guys are only making it more dull for when you got to cut your foot later. Oh, this is a bad, that's all I could think. Was just like, that's not going to go well. So, and Lawrence is like, yeah, he wants us to cut through our feet. He knows it right away.
We get a flashback some cops. We got our Danny Glover here, who I think is a little bit sleepwalking through this movie. He doesn't really seem to be like on the pow, pow, pow track on this one. Am I wrong in there? Your face.
What do you mean? Sleepwalking? How so? What do you mean?
I just don't feel like he's... I don't know. I don't.
I think he's already twanged at the beginning. And I think that's what they're... Yeah, I think that's what they're showing. I think he's already... That's what I was like. He's... I was like, there's something wrong with this cop. Okay. You get it from the beginning.
Okay.
Because he's weird. And you're like, he's not a regular cop. And he's like obsessive.
Right.
Kind of weird. And you're like, what is wrong with him? Because now, like, by the obviously by the end of the movie, it all kind of comes together.
Right.
But they're giving you that little like early. I was like, he's a fucked up cop. And right away, I was like, he's not a good cop.
Okay.
I was like, there's something wrong with him. He's not a good cop.
Okay. And
see it right away.
Okay, that makes much, much more sense. Because he does act odd. And maybe I just take him acting odd for Danny Glover acting odd. But if it's the character acting odd, then I'm
it's the cop. Gotcha. I think it's straight up the performance because he knows where it's tracking. So
they find the previous victim because Dr. Lawrence is like, I think I know who this is. He's like starting to try to put it together. So we get the previous murder, which is a guy.
A razor room.
Yeah.
Room.
A room full of like razor wire that a man has tried to run through at top speed and has just destroyed himself on.
Cauterized. Just over his body. It's a laceration station. Can we call it that?
Oh, well, hello. Look at that. Yeah. I mean, it makes it sound kind of fun, which it's not at all.
Hey, guys. Hey, kids. You want to go to Laceration Station?
No,
I know. I don't. I know.
Horror movie smug guy tip. Say no.
Don't go to Laceration Station, kids.
So they find the tape for this gentleman as well. So we have this through line. We know it's the same dude. There's a jigsaw piece cut out of his back. And the thing about him is like, well, he's not a murderer. He didn't kill him. He just forced himself to kill himself.
He gets the victims to kill themselves. So this is the crux of it, is he sets up these elaborate situations where people are given a choice. And the choices are not good. They're basically skewed against them. And so then we also see another victim, this guy who was in a room with a safe, like a lock and safe. And but it's not very safe, this room. The guy is covered in flammable material and given a candle and is like, okay, this is your only light source. Also, if any of that touches you, if that candle so much as like gets near you too much, you're about to go up in flames and die.
He's trying to get the combination to the safe from the numbers on the wall. There's an antidote to what he has in there. And so, yeah, he catches on fire, is burned up real bad. So then we have a flashback of Dr. Gordon when he's working in the hospital and talking about a patient who is there, but talking about him very clinically, like he's not a person. Just,
like he's not even there.
Yeah.
And he's you know, the teaching hospital, it looks like, because they have some like residents, like an interns in there. And so the interns are, you know, basically like, you know, going over the case with him, and he's making kind of inappropriate jokes. You also see this girl, one of the girl interns, who's kind of like eyeing the doctor, and you're like, oh no. He's that guy. He's that doctor. He's got too much hubris, too much power, and doesn't care about people very much anymore. But
It's that jaded doctor. It happens, right? And there's no way it can't, really. Like, you really do have to, as a doctor, kind of turn yourself off in a way to, because you're working on
protection.
People.
Yeah, sure. It's protection and distance. Because, I mean, especially if I feel like, even, you know, through this last couple of years and stuff too, all this doctor story is just like, oh my God, I have to like not think about this while I'm in this room, mm-hmm. even though we know these are people and they're human, but there is that distance that kind of has to be had to, like, self-preservation is a bitch, you know?
But Lawrence does look in this scene just to be, they don't paint him as a very nice fellow. It's a very short scene. It's only about a minute, but you're like, oh, okay, I kind of get who he is in this scene. And there is an orderly Zep who pops in, and he's like, hey, his name's John. Like, he's a nice guy. I'm trying to like get him his humanity back. But he just kind of dismisses him as he does. So Dr. Lawrence is a suspect in the murder because a penlight of his with his name on it was found at the crime scene. And he has no alibi because he was having an affair the day before with the girl that we saw earlier. And you're like,
so he has to talk to his lawyer and be like, okay, I actually have an alibi. And he's like, you got to tell him, like, you know, even though you don't want people to know, like, you're going to have to, this is going to, you have to let people know.
And we have the
Amanda.
Yes, the one survivor of Jigsaw who is, and they specifically want him to hear her story. And I think they're really looking for his reaction because they really kind of still think it might be him that did it. And this is Shawnee Smith, who is in a bunch of 80s horror movies, including The Blob, who is awesome. She's a very short part, but she fucking kills it.
No, it's an intense, I just got goosebumps. It's a great part. And it's like, when she walked in, I was like, oh, what happened to her? Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Because her face, she's definitely already like seen the end game twang, you know, mm-hmm. and has like made it through some shit. And I was like, oh, no, what did she go through? And she woke up in a Jigsaw room with a torture device over her head that looks like, how do we describe it? It's like a reverse bear trap. Is that what it looks like?
Yes, a reverse bear trap. So it's in her mouth. Around her head, there's a lock in the back, and at the specific time, if she does not open it, it will open and just rip her face apart, basically.
Yeah, from the inside. It looks from the inside out, and so it just looks like the worst set of headgear, you mm-hmm. know, someone could ever give you.
Yeah.
And so then her reveal too, she has a creepy Jigsaw puppet video, mm-hmm. Where he's, you know, giving her all this information. I was like, oh, scary puppet, reverse bear trap, and he lets her know, hey. There's a key to that thing. It's in this room here. It's actually in the stomach of the dead guy over there. Go get it. And she's like, okay, I'm going to go do it. And she runs over and goes and guts this guy. It turns out the guy is not dead. He's actually just like drugged and a little bit out of it.
Right.
And she through him alive, pulls out his entrails and key and entrail. And I was like, oh, I see where they got that. And that, oh my gosh. The movie from England we just watched, our friend wrote.
Paintball Massacre?
Yeah, because there's a key in guts. And I was like, oh, this was an homage to a little Saw moment, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. And of course, like he wakes up right as she's about to do it, right? And she has that moment where she's like, oh, well, got to do it anyway. Sorry, sir. Don't know you. So Jigsaw, if she makes it out, gets it off right as it's about to twang. And Jigsaw comes in and is like, hey, most people are ungrateful to be alive. Not you anymore. Like, she used to be an act, and he's like, well, kind of just saved you. Like, and it, you know, and it's that twisted thing. And it's like, in a way, he kind of did. Like, she is going to be grateful now. She's not going to go back to being an act, but you can't say, you know, it's just, yeah, it's terrible.
So many levels of fucked up. But he did help her. Like,
right.
It's a scared clean program, basically, is what. Look at the Jigsaw's scared clean program.
You won't like what we do to weep. Do to you, but we get results.
Absolutely. That's it's 100% guaranteed. You either live here or you die free.
But I think it's one of those things, like in the killer's head, right? He's doing the right thing. Even if he's going about it in these fucked up ways, he's like, well, I'm helping these people and I'm helping them to appreciate their life in a way that they never have. Because the bad guy never thinks they're a bad guy, right? The bad guy always thinks they're doing good in some way.
Exactly. That's the moral through line for this character. And the justification for his actions, because we all got to justify what we do.
I kind of like they give him such a kind of deep motivation where you're like, okay, I understand that as a human. And I think a lot of these like real hardcore, like torture porn kind of movies really skimp on that kind of like villain backstory. And I'm like, okay, I'm on board with this. Like I get where he's coming from.
Yeah. We've watched so many slashes where you're like, I don't even know why the guy's slashing people. Like he has no compass, no purpose. And I was like, oh, this is like, you get everything in this.
Yeah.
He's like, full purpose. He's got a way forward. He knows exactly why he's doing it. And you also, the victims also kind of know too, because I think Amanda's, even Dr. Lawrence,
Amanda's last thing that she says is he helped me. So,
yeah.
Okay. And Dr. Lawrence, you're saying?
Yeah. Dr. Lawrence too is like, well, like I get, like, I know this guy and like I've done some things and he's also feeling guilty. You can see him right, like very early on, like, oh, I haven't been doing the things I was supposed to be doing and I haven't been a great husband. So, like, yeah, this. Who knows? This could be tied with that, you know, and this is like his punishment for that activity. So
they find that there is a two-way mirror in the room. And there's some stuff that breaks the mirror, finds a camera.
The bad reality TV show base. They're like, oh no, this is like the worst reality TV ever.
Being watched. So Adam also finds a photo of Lawrence's wife and kid tied up with a Polaroid, and on the back it says X marks the spot.
But he doesn't tell Dr. Lawrence because Dr. Lawrence is thrown as well because he was trying to show his like kids and like his picture of his kid, and Adam doesn't tell Dr. Lawrence that he found that in there. No. He just kind of sets it aside.
And already partly, like, come on, man.
Well, partly because it's the game, but also partly I think he justifies it later kind of a little bit as like, hey, I was kind of protecting you because like I don't need you to know like that your family's fucked up right now and locked up. Like, we need to get out of here. But also one man is supposed to kill the other man. So mm-hmm. as much as they're on the same team trying to get out of there, they're also pitted against each other right now. So you see that crumbling apart very swiftly.
Right. So it says X mark the spot. Sometimes you see more with your eyes shut. So you're like, okay, he's given those sneaky little clues. So when we have a flashback with Larry and his wife, we find out that they're not doing good. She's like, you feel nothing. You're like, feel something. You're just like this zombie walking through life. And he doesn't really respond. He's kind of out there. He does. You can tell he loves his daughter.
Yeah. And he's got this sweet daughter, but even that, he's not like jumping at the right away when she asks for help. Cause his little girl, Dana, is like, I think there's somebody in my room. Can you please come get the boogeyman out of my room? Basically. And he's like, oh yeah. Give me a second. He finishes work first and then he does go up and talks with her, and he's like, no one's here, you're fine. But he doesn't really check the room, unfortunately. He doesn't check the closet. He didn't check under the bed, really. He skimmed it. Should have done a better job on that because, bum, 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 someone was in that room.
Yeah, somebody totally in that room who's going to snatch his wife and child up immediately right after he leaves to go meet this lady. So he has this, you know, when we see them get tied up, you have already like a sense of the killer, because he ties them up and he has a gun, but he's just fucking with them and putting it to their head and like listening to their hearts. He has a stethoscope that he's listening to their hearts with, like he's kind of
checking their heart rates, like getting off on their fear. It felt a little Pennywise-ish. Yeah. Like he just needs to be afraid, so he needs to check their heart rate that they're afraid. Like,
right, but we know that in all of these situations he's watched, right? That he's had a hole in the wall where he's able to watch this happen. So he clearly is super getting off on the fear and this like this horrific things that he's doing to these people.
Exactly. And so we also cut to, there's a stakeout to there's like a wall of clippings and all this kind of stuff in the stakeout room. And you're this is Danny Glover.
Yeah, he's like in a serial killer house. You're like, oh, something, wait, what happened? Like, he seemed like semi-okay last time we saw him, but he's staking out.
He's obsessed,
with the doctor.
He's staking out the doctor's house, yeah. And so he's watching, so he can see this guy in the doctor's house and doesn't do anything. He just keeps watching and videoing and documenting it, but not intervening, and knows that something's up.
But he's been obsessed with the tape that they found when Amanda had her encounter with Jigsaw, and he's able to find out the location of the lair by some very handy graffiti and fire truck logging.
The K2K territory of this gang. And so it's only 4 blocks away on 213 Stygian Street. There's a fire alarm in the background. It happened at this time. Find out when that fire alarm happened. So they got all these clues from the video that they're putting together. And so they're able to find the location of where Jigsaw, one of his layers, may be.
So they find his lair, and they go in and they find these.
With no warrant, a big ass stupid shotgun.
Yeah.
And just tap and sing, the two partners, and with no cover.
Sure. It's one of those
serial killer's place.
We're going to do it unofficially. We'll just go, like, I'm sure nothing will happen. You're like, oh, you're already in trouble.
It's a trap. I was like, it's a trap. I was like, you idiots. It's a mother freaking trap. Trap, trap, trap music.
And I do like that Jigsaw goes to the trouble of making like little mock-ups, like little models of all his setups that are all there. And like,
He is methodical. He plans these out. He really is an escape room artiste.
Yeah, and he seems to be like 5 steps ahead of everybody, which is really, really fun, that no matter how clever you think you are, he's already thought of what you're going to think of.
Yeah, he sets it up psychologically for you. So there's a man bound and gagged up in this place, who's got like 2 little things that look like they're going to drill into the side of his head on a timer. And basically he's like, well, you get to choose between saving this guy or saving yourself, so to speak, or trying to get me. So do you save a life today or do you let it go? And it's like, well, these cops are not about saving lives, clearly. Not today.
So they do. And they, you know, it gives him a set of keys and he's trying to unlock the keys and the drills are coming. And, you know, Jigsaw shows up and they have a tussle And okay,
but so he's all cloaked, so we don't see his face, you guys. Yep. So we're still a little bit shrouded in mystery, literally shrouded.
Shrouded indeed. Mm-hmm. Okay, here's the thing though, right? So as we know, no warrant. This is not legal. But also, you clearly know that this is Jigsaw. You know it's him. Fucking shoot him. Jesus, just fucking shoot him. I was like,
I think he's strangely, obviously, like all like twangy cops, like this guy here is strangely enamored. And like, because he's the one that gets away, they have a weird cat and mouse song and dance, strange admiration, love affair. Do you know what I mean, though? Of sure. Like being but, like, this killer is really smart. He just needs to shoot him. I know. But then the movie would be over.
I know the movie would be over. But I think you know, it's the serial killer, and you know how many lives you could save by taking this one dude out. And he doesn't, of course he gets away and is all clever about it. And I'm like, you're killing me, Danny Glover.
Yep, because he plays to their weaknesses, but he also gets, Danny Glover, character Tap, gets freaking slashed in the throat right here by Jigsaw. So he gets cut in the throat because Jigsaw has this dope-ass knife that pops out of his freaking, like, wrist or whatever. He's got this pop knife. And then Singh ends up getting a super shotgunned from a trap as he's trying to run away, his partner, and he ends up falling underneath, like, a trap of shotguns that are just pointing down. It's a barrage. They came in with one shotgun to like a, like, it was like they brought a knife to a gunfight, but it was literally, they brought one shotgun to like, I don't know, full on shootout range.
So we're back in the bathroom, and Adam and Lawrence are trying to figure out what X marks the spot kind of deal is. So Adam's like, hey, turn the lights off. He's like, why? Just turn them off. So when he does, there's an X on the wall, and he is, they're good in there, and there's a box in there. And he's like, how did you know that I was there? Kind of weird. Mm-hmm. In the box is a cell phone, some cigarettes, a lighter, and a note from Jigsaw to Dr. Lawrence saying, cigarettes are harmless, I promise. Smoking is only poisonous when it ends in bloodshed. Think about this. You don't need a gun to kill Adam. And maybe I'm a coward, but I was like, kind of set you up in a real nice way though. Like, it doesn't, you don't have to like kill him in a horrible way. Like, he's just, this is, you know, you just, you dip that cigarette in that poisonous blood that we've learned that the gentleman who killed himself had been poisoned. Like, that's, he did kind of make it easy. Like, I was like, I would maybe take that option if I were Dr. Lawrence. Like, it seems pretty blood free. It's cowardly, but it's also set up for you.
Right. But even if he did do it, would he get out of there? Would he win?
But that's the same thing that he would ask later, right? Like, if he has to kill him by, you know, bashing his head in or whatever, like, it's the same thing. Like, is he really going to let him out? No matter how he kills him, the question is still there.
Right. So he thinks about it. He dips one of the cigarettes in blood, but there's another one in there. So there's two cigarettes. So he throws in the good one anyway. But then we see Adam finally shares that picture, though, too, with Dr. Lawrence. And so now Dr. Lawrence knows, like, what is going on. And so they try to bluff Jigsaw. They try to team up now that they've kind of like shared stuff with each other now too. And they try to bluff him by Adam acting like he actually got poisoned and is dying.
He's such a terrible,
so bad at acting. I was like, oh no, they got the guy who can't act to act it. But it's like, it's hilarious because he's just acting so badly as he's dying. And you're like, oh no, Jigsaw's not going to buy this shit. This is so bad. And Jigsaw's like, nope. And electrocutes Adam because he's like, oh, you're dead? So that turns out that thing that's around their ankle actually has electrodes to it. And so he totally like electrocutes him. Not to the death, just enough to shake him up and make him pass out for a hot second.
We get some flashbacks here because neither of them remember how they got there. Mm-hmm. So we find out that we see Dr. Lawrence going into his car, and we see that the guy got into his car in the back seat of his car when he's going out of this garage, but he can't get out of the garage. It's locked and he's trying to get out. And then we finally see the face of Jigsaw, but it's a pig mask.
Yep.
I kind of like this pig mask.
Creepy ass pig mask. It's pretty good.
Yeah. And so there's a moment where we see now we see how Adam got there. And Adam, we find out, is actually a photographer who has been hired to take pictures of Dr. Lawrence and has been following him for several days. So this whole time when he woke up and he's like, who are you? It was actually all a big charade because he actually knew who he was very well. So there's been secrets and lies all around, folks.
Right. And so we see that Adam was actually developing photos. He's in his dark room at his house. Oh, dark room. The kids don't even know. They're like, today. You have to tell them like, oh, this is what we used to do to get pictures. You have to go in this room. It was all red light. And then you put it in some chemical and then you wiggle it around. Amazing.
I like this scene because we're in the dark room and Jackson turned the lights out and the old like, let's use the camera flash to see the room trick, right, which is always great in a horror movie because you get these brief flashes and you're like, somebody's going to be there eventually. But I also just love the sound of the flash, and it's as so it's
satisfying,
like recharging, go up to the next one, like that just made this scene for me. I was like, oh, good use of that sound. Well done.
Great use of that sound. The sound effects are actually really, really good in this whole sequence. Mm-hmm. And he's like, and Adam's like, I can hear you, you know, that all of that just like cat and mouse moment. And so the flashlight was out, the overhead lights were out. So I was like, oh, somebody set this up for him to not have any light in there very, very quickly. Mm-hmm. Scary. When we go back to, and that's how Adam got taken, was in that moment. But we get a phone call and we find out that the phone only works one way. You can only get receive calls. Of course, you can't call out because they tried and tried and tried. But Diana and Allie, Dr. Lawrence's family, call him. And Allie's like, his wife is like, don't believe the lies that Adam is telling you. He knows you. And that's how he finds out, oh, he actually does know him. Mm-hmm. So he's more suspicious because everything's got to be connected in here. That's why they're there.
Mm-hmm. So we have and it's also cool because you realize that Dr. Lawrence actually has two people following him for the last couple of days, right? Because he's got Adam, but he's also got Jigsaw who's following them both. So right. It's this like how do you not feel that there's like two people following you?
Well, because he was also so on guard because he kept looking because he was having an affair and he's going and doing these things.
He's not having an affair, actually.
Yeah.
Because he gets hotel room and is like, I can't do it. No, I'm sorry.
Or were they having an affair? I thought that he was breaking up with her then. I thought that was the breakup.
I thought this was the first time they met and they were supposed to start. And then he got there and he was like, I can't.
Oh, I thought it was the breakup. I thought they had been having an affair. And I thought that was him like breaking it off finally because he felt too guilty about it.
Okay. Well, you can play that either way, I guess. But the phone rings while he's there. And of course, nobody knows that they're there. And it's Jigsaw's voice saying, I know what you're doing, doctor. And he's like, gets on out of there. So we find out that who paid Adam to take these pictures.
It's Detective Tapp. Danny Glover has been paying him. And ooh, they have a little row now too, Adam and Lawrence. He's like, you're also a bottom feeder. Cause he's like, Adam's like, well, I just got paid to take pictures. What do you mean? Like, I just doing my job. He's like, you're a bottom feeder. You're doing this like under the, you know, table, whatever this is, you know, it's probably not above board, but he's like, I'm just doing my job though, guy. Like, how did I get sucked in here with this?
That's what they always say. Just doing my job.
How did I get here? And Larry breaks the freak down. He loses his shit. And this is where he really has that moment. I was like, oh no, he is broken. He figures out from like different pics, he's like, oh my God, I think it might be Zepp, the orderly that was in there. We've seen flashes of him in and out. And looks like he's the one who actually has got his family as well, too. Mm-hmm. And so Allie is trying to get out of where she's restrained at their house and grabs a gun.
Her and Zepp are having a struggle. Again, grabs the gun, doesn't shoot. And I'm like, dude.
Just kill him.
He's about to kill you and your daughter. Just shoot him, man. Even if it's not in the face, shoot him in the knee, shoot him in the stomach, like still shoot him. But of course she doesn't. See, this is why this is horror movie survival guide tip, right? You get a gun. If there's a killer, known killer, just shoot them. Don't wait for them to talk. Don't let them come towards you. Just do it. This is Final Girl rules. This is how you survive the horror movie.
Yeah. Just shoot it. So, you know, when you get your weapon, use it, and double tap, right? Okay.
Of course.
So, Zepp ends up escaping and he's off to kill, you know, Larry gets electrocuted cause he's, you know, having a moment and trying to get out of there. There's a super chase on now because there's just all this stuff is happening.
It's all at once.
Yeah. Tap like- ends up getting in there. He's finally gets out of his house in his weird, creepy lair and is like running to Zepp and, so there's like a full on chase down to get to the sewer house, the disgusting bathroom.
Yes, where Larry has really incredibly lost his mind now. And it's just like, I'm going to fucking just, here we go. Foot's coming off. Fuck it. Just
and
gotta
I love
get
this
here.
Line though too. Fuck this shit. And you're like, yep, I think that is really the tagline for this movie.
Yeah. he's just done. He's just like, okay, I've snapped. No more. Here we go.
Literally fucking in the shit house, in the sewer house, shit house, all of it. It's like so many layers of shit.
And Danny Glover gets shot, and Larry finally gets the bullet from the gun as he's able to get out of his chain and get a crawl over to the dead man, and shoots Adam. And Adam just stands there. Also, if someone, horror movies, fire guy tip, if you are not the killer and someone is pointing a gun at you, duck. Just duck. Like, it's not that hard. Duck. So he does, Adam does get shot. And family is trying to call him because he has this gun and like he's, the phone.
He can't reach the phone. It's too, it's just out of reach because he's, you know, in there chained up still. He's trying to get to it and it's too late. Like, it's not ringing anymore and he can't call out. So, you know.
Zep comes back and Adam is not dead. So he ends up bashing his head in with the back of a toilet, which is always a good weapon, by the way, horror movies, Father Guy Tips. Yeah. If you don't know, back of a toilet, excellent weapon.
Yeah, they're pretty heavy.
So Larry, who looks terrible now. I mean, he is
he's got
lost.
Negative color in his face now. Yeah. He's like purple. You know what I mean, though? Like, he's like this weird icy blue now. It's like,
You don't have long to go, sir. Like,
he knows he doesn't. He's like, I'm losing too much blood. I've got to get out of here. So he's crawling his way out of there. He's like, I'm going to try to get help before I bleed to death. Like, okay, bye.
He's just going to like crawl off into the darkness. Goodness. Yep. So now we get the big reveal, which was that actually Zep, not the killer, set up by Jigsaw as well. So he
also has a tape recorder in his pockets.
He's a pawn in the game.
Yep, a timeline. So he's totally playing the game as well. And then we get the dun dun dun.
This actor, this guy who has been lying on the floor the entire time, actually the killer. Wah, wah, wah.
He's Jigsaw and he is the man. The dead man was the one who orchestrated it all.
I think that's pretty rad. I got to admit, pretty awesome. Because nobody, you would never, nobody would ever suspect it, right? Like, it's, of course, that's a, like, how much
in
twisted.
Plain sight. In freaking plain sight the whole time. And of course, they were like, this guy likes to have a front row to all of his shows. So he likes the best seat in the house is something that is so incredibly close to you that he's right there. So pretty brilliant.
And so he gets up and is like, hey, you know, you can get out of here. Your key, it's just in the bathtub. And we realize that when he had pulled the plug earlier in the film to be able to get to the tape recorder, that he put all the water out of the drain and key gone down the drain and leaves Adam in the dark alone forever.
And closes that big ass door and just locks him in there. So, yay. Stuck in the sewer house.
Stuck forever, because I don't have a feeling Larry's coming back. I don't think he's going to be able to get help.
I don't think he's going to get very far, considering that Jigsaw just stood up and he's probably going to just go grab him right outside, right? Like, I mean, that's pretty much it. Or if not, he's probably going to not he's going to peter out before he gets to anybody to help. Amazing.
So as I mentioned, I saw when it came out in the theaters, and when it started out and we just had these two people in a room, I was super excited. I was like, oh my god. Is it just going to be these people in a room?
Which is his favorite thing. Yeah.
My favorite thing. And then when it turned into, it was like, oh, and now there's a cop and then there's a serial killer chase and now there's a car chase and all this stuff. And I was like, no. So for me, if this movie had been them in that room the entire time, I would give this movie 100% yes. Mm-hmm. I love all the stuff in the room. All of the other stuff, I'm like, disappointing to me. It makes it feel like every other movie. Like,
I wonder what the first pass of this movie was like.
There's a short film.
Okay.
So I don't know if the short film is only in the room, but that
I imagine it would be. I imagine it is. That's what I imagine. I imagine like first this was like you said, probably a short, or like the first pass of writing this was probably just those two guys duking it out and figuring out, trying to get out of that room.
It's so much more interesting to me though. Like, it's like you can still find out all the cool serial killer
but
stuff.
But not commercially viable for most things, because most people are not like you and I, Julia. They want to sit and watch some Beckett or something and just watch one or two people sitting on a bench for hours at a time just figuring it out.
Yeah,
we're not all waiting for Godot. All right, so
I know, but we are. And I'm just saying, if you want to make Julia Marchesi happy, and who doesn't, this is what we would do.
Girl, I'm only here to make you happy. Do we want to do some gore factor for this?
Yeah, I think you should, my love.
Okay, not enough blood to fill a Dixie cup. 2, a puddle of blood. 3, enough blood to gross out the average viewer. 4, a bathtub of blood. 5, run for the barf bag. I think if you haven't already guessed from the very beginning of this film, 'tis a 5. If someone's going to cut a foot, if someone's going to, you know, like just gut people and just like pull out intestines and entrails, anytime there's intestines, I think 'Tis mm-hmm. a five.
Sure.
Yes.
And this is, you know, one of the beginning of the wave of the so-called torture porn, right? You have this and you have Hostel and you have those kind of things where it's just about the most horror, thinking up the most horrible ways you could kill somebody, which gets, you know, A for creativity, but a little upsetting. Movie rating, one, Chainsaw if you're desperate. Two, barely qualifies as a horror film. Three, seen worse, seen better. Four, not too shabby. And five, fantastic Oracle. I give Saw a 3.5. I want to like it a lot more than I do. And again, with this, you know, with this stuff where like I see what I would want in this film and I'm like, oh, but you've gave me something I didn't really want. And I appreciate the creativity of the kills. Again, that's really great. I think everybody does a really good job in it, but I am not on the Saw train as much as everybody else is. And I actually, this is the only Saw film I've seen. I haven't seen any of the sequels. And I know there are people who are big Super Saw fans, so I'm sorry if I've offended you with my opinion, but I hear that if you watch them all in a row, that they really set things up early.
There's a lot of payoffs, I bet.
Yes.
There's so got to be. Just from that ending alone from the first one, like I was like, oh, they're setting this shit up. This is amazing.
Yeah. So yeah, so it's supposed to, you know, every movie has something that would like later you're like, oh, like they, you know, it's very clever. So one of these days we can have a Saw marathon and we could watch it all. But, you know, here we are. What did you think of this movie?
I gave it a 4, Julia. It's only also because of the ending, because like up until that part, I was like, I do love that. I like what you said. I think that's a great note of just like, I would just love to see a cut of just these two guys like duking it out in the room and just trying to figure shit out. And really getting into like the psyche of like what it is to feel like you're at the end and figuring that out together. Mm-hmm. But I love that twist. I was like, oh my God, the dead man. Are you kidding me? I like cheered. I was like, yes, holy shit. This is why this is why people love this movie. Yeah. That's right there. That seals the deal. Like if you have that kind of like M. Night Shyamalan, whatever, like, you know, James Wan twist. I love that. So I give that a 4. Not too shabby to me. Would watch again.
Okay.
Just because I want to see all the little things come together again, like all the little pieces.
Well, you have several more Saw films to enjoy if you so choose. This could happen.
Maybe. Yeah.
So next week, you know, we want to keep the Halloween countdown October fun flowing. So next week we're going to be talking about Robert Eggers' The Witch.
Yes. Oh my God, I love witches. I'm so excited. And I didn't realize till like recently looking, I was like, it's Anya Taylor-Joy.
Oh, you didn't
Queen's
know?
Gambit. I don't know shit. I just knew it looked cool. And then to put it all together of like, oh, I know who she is now. This was like the thing, I guess, that launched her, right?
Yeah,
like this was like the big thing.
Big all right. breakout.
Well, very exciting. So I'm excited to watch this. I've never seen it, so I can't wait to watch it and chat with you about it this next week. And
yeah,
cool. Thanks, guys.
I saw it in the theater. As you do.
2016 was a time. So
where can they find us?
You can find us on the internets. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can find us at our Patreon. You can find us, hanging out at our Teespring. You can get some merch if you choose. We have some fun stuff, very soft hoodies and mugs and things for the fall and winter for your pleasure. You can start holiday shopping now as well. I recommend it. People, who doesn't want a Horror Movie Survival Guide thing for their birthday or holiday gift?
This is what I'm saying. And if you join our Patreon and subscribe there, we do send out lots of little goodies and things that only the Patreon members get. So please do follow us there. And of course, thank you for listening, because you guys are awesome and you make our lives better with your joy.
You make our dreams come true. Thank you guys. We'll see you next week. Yay. Bye.
Bye.